The following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Dan Hutt present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring for our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia and our listening area. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturdays at 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcasts also heard on WPEN FM 97.5 HD2.
Sergeant Joe Beletsky, Military Police of the 545th Military Police Division, 1st Air Cavalry, Desk Sergeant of a forward base camp at Quan Loi, Vietnam, from January 1969 through April of 1970. My radio call sign was Running Tread 25. I'll be joining Father Jim Drucker today on his show Rock and Roll Reveille. Stay tuned, veterans, for a great show of rock music and veteran talk.
My guest today is Joe Beletsky, Sergeant Joe Beletsky, and Joe, say hello to the world.
Hello, world. It's the kid from South Philly, 2 Street.
Joe was a cop in Vietnam. More properly, we would say he was a military policeman. So we have as well today with us Vienna Lorendi. Vienna, say hello, Lieutenant Colonel, retired nurse.
Hello to all my fellow veterans. Many, many thanks for your service. When I think about you, What you've done for our country, three words resonate with me. Honor, courage, and sacrifice. Honor, courage, and sacrifice. You are all my heroes. And in September of this year, I attended a veteran expo. I sat at a lunch table. I looked across the table, and there is a guy with a cap on. It says, Vietnam veteran, 1st Cavalry. So I said, you were as crazy as those dust-off pilots, weren't you? He said, yes. And then I asked him, what year were you in Nam? He said, 1969. I asked him if he was at or near Hamburger Hill. He said, yes. And I said, well, I got hundreds of amputees at the 249th General Hospital in Japan from that massacre. Then I heard his story. And after I heard his story, I said, I've got a DJ, doo-wop, veteran Catholic priest that you have to meet because that's a radio show coming up.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Ma'am. Josh, can we have the song right now, please? When the Saints Go Marching In, please. We'll talk about it later on WWDB, Father Jimmy Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille.
Let's hear it.
There we go. Here what we do you go. Know? I'm a little flustered with the beginning of the show, but anyway, whatever it is, I'm happy to be on the air, back in the air in Philadelphia, 10,000 watts of veteran power on WWDB, simulcast WPEN 97.5 HD2. Lower the volume a little bit on the music, please, Josh. And Doc, I think you're going to take over.
Yes, if I may, Doc Andy Savicki, Marine Corps 68 to 71 during Vietnam, and then later on, I went into the Air Force. As a lieutenant colonel, I retired. And I'd like to ask you, Sergeant Beletsky, the following. You're a graduate of St. Joseph's. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that's why you heard the St. Joe fight song being played.
My son went to St. Joe's Prep, so I'm endeared by that name and that location. Father Jim shared earlier that the college theme song was The Saints Go Marching In, and please share our audience your upbringing and your grandparents' Bugs and Chetska.
Tekla.
And
your
Tekla.
Good Ukrainian name.
It's a beautiful name. And your mom and dad, Joseph and Bertha. Please tell me all about it now.
Tell us.
Okay, I will. I was born and raised in South Philadelphia on the waterfront, 2nd Street. And my grandparents' home, Adam and Tekla. Adam was executive chef at Villanova University. And his name was Bogaliskus. And they had a hard time with that, so they referred to him as Bugs, a name that his son later on carried on to Core States Bank. Anyway, we lived with Grandma and Grandpa, and my father and mother, Joseph and Bertha, they had me in October 26, 46, after Pop came home from World War II. I was raised there, went to a small Catholic school, St. Casimir's, which was a Lithuanian origin school, where I learned Hutt and Peck Lithuanian.
So and you're part Lithuanian. What's the other part? Yes?
Ukrainian. My father's side was Ukrainian.
So as you know, you may not know, Dr. Savicki is Ukrainian, but you were born in Belgium. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And he's, of course, our resident psychologist. That's why he's here with me, because I need him absolutely today. and I'm part Ukrainian, but more on the Slavic side with the Ruthenian Church. So you may not understand, but we would say Slava Isus Hristu, which the response would be?
Slavitia, huh?
No, Slava Naviki. Absolutely. Right. So, Joseph, continue. And let's get into your life as you got into your family. What schools did you go to? What elementary school, what junior high school, et cetera?
Well, now that this is the Ukrainian hour, I went to St. Casimir's, which for elementary school, first through eighth grade, conducted by the Sisters of St. Casimir's, a Lithuanian order. Graduated there in 60 and went on to Bishop Newman High School in South Philadelphia, run by the Norbertines. Graduated there in 68 and went on to St. Joseph's College and entered a brand new program that they just instituted, the food marketing program. Actually, we were the third graduating class out of that school. Come senior year, Vietnam was getting hot and heavy, and everybody was getting concerned about getting drafted. Well, lo and behold, in November, I got reclassified by the draft board.
Now, listen, you were in ROTC?
No, I was not.
Never, okay. No, but you had a college degree, so you could have gone on to become an officer, and why didn't you accept that?
Well, a variety of reasons. Number one, the first one was that if you, to become an officer, you had to switch over from being a draftee, a U.S., to an RA, meaning regular Army.
Mm-hmm.
And then it meant you had to enlist for another year. And my motto to this day was, you got me for 1 year, 11 months, and 29 days, and the clock is ticking.
We're going to be talking about that. In the meantime, here's a song you picked. All the songs on our show, Father Jim Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille shows, are always picked by the guest. They give me an assortment of 10 to 12 songs, and then I interloop them as I feel there's a script. The storyline goes along of the guest we have, who is Joe Beletsky, Sergeant, a hero in my estimation. And by the way, if you get a chance, give a call, 888-329-3306. This is a famous man that was a ranger, and he was a real living-to-life ranger, and he had this song that sold over 1 million records in 1966.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed.
Hello there. I'm back.
This is my co-host, my wonderful co-host, Billy Carlucci of Danny and the Juniors, and of his own right as a great songwriter, has written many songs for many great artists, including Leslie Gore, Ricky Nelson, can you believe this, and The 3 Degrees. Anyway, Billy is my co-host. It's wonderful to have you. We had a great time, by the way, last night. I'll talk for a second. We were at the Broadcast Pioneers annual dinner. I call it Christmas dinner, even though it's November. And we had a lot of awardees. Who was the person of the year was?
Pat Scirocchi.
She was number one, numero uno. And we also honored Larry Anderson, who was with the Phillies and, yes, and a broadcaster, and Don Bell.
And Don Bell.
Oh, you don't have the script here.
He doesn't have the program book. The book's in my
Andre
car.
Gardner
right
from, from MGK fame, and Vincent Giannini, Lorraine Ballard Morrell, Steve Nakazi, Bernie Prazenzia. How do you pronounce that name? Prazenica, okay?
That's come it. Close,
and Don Bell, I met him last night. Very fine young man.
Tom
but anyway,
O'Malley, you met Tom O'Malley.
Let's
we
continue
know Tom
with
O'Malley.
Our show here with right. Joe Belinsky.
Sergeant Belinsky, now listen, the Vietnam Ranger who wrote that song, we love the song, right?
Yes.
He's a great writer. He wrote only one song, I believe.
Yes,
and that was
from what
song.
I understand, yeah.
Now, what were your thoughts when you went from there to a soldier in Vietnam?
I was scared. With a capital S.
I don't blame you. You had to run right over there, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my
exactly.
God. You had to be horrified.
Well, the point was, in military police school, we were there November. Where
was it, Joseph?
In Fort Gordon, Georgia.
Okay.
We
wasn't that jump school also? Or was that?
No, that was Fort Bragg. Right, That's Fort where Bragg. I took basic, yeah. by the way. Right. So anyway, we were at Gordon, and we went home for the Thanksgiving holiday break. You had your choice, Thanksgiving or Christmas, so we did Thanksgiving. Well, the point was that the rumor was we were going all to Panama because of the fact that in Vietnam they were killing MPs big time.
Why?
The VC had a bounty on the badge that you wore on your shoulder.
Joseph, VC stands for what?
Victor Charlie, Viet Cong.
Viet Cong. Continue. So they saw your patch that showed you were a military policeman.
They would shoot you.
so you had a bounty on you.
Yes, they did. So anyway, the point was that since they were killing so many MPs, they wanted factory-trained MPs in Vietnam. So they were pulling them out of Germany, and they were pulling them out of Panama. So we were supposed to be the replacements for those GIs in Panama.
So what really happened, Joseph?
What really happened?
You know what? It reminds me, when I was in the Air Force, they used to give us a Form 90. It was called the Dream Sheet. And, of course, if you fill that Hawaii first, Hickam, that's where you didn't go.
Yeah.
For your whole career, your whole life, you're done, finished. If you put Hickam number 95.5, you might get that first.
You know, I don't understand that, but maybe you understand it. What's a Hickam?
Listen, all kidding aside, Hickam.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, Hickam Air Force Base. Yeah. Great Air Force Base. Yeah. I was there. I flew over with a C-130 from Massachusetts over the ocean. We flew in from Westover, where I was with the 439th Combat Support Group, and we flew into Ent Peterson, stayed overnight in Colorado Springs, which is now Air Space Command. Then we flew into Travis, and from Travis, we flew over the ocean to Hickam. And we were there for 10 days, and I got there, and all the officers, the crew, and the enlisted were all given rooms. And he said, Father, we have no room for you. I said, what are you talking about? I just gave I have the priest watching my parish. I'm a reservist. He said, no, Father, we're going to send you to the Hilton Hawaiian Village with $90 per diem a day. I said, you must be Catholic. I love you. Anyway, continue your thoughts, Joseph.
Okay. So anyway. They had real live MPs around our company area when we all came back because they didn't want anybody going over the wall. Well, case in point was that five guys got word that we were going to Vietnam, the entire training company. Long story short was, by the time I got to California, I should interject that I graduated on a Friday. I was in California.
From St. Joe's?
No, from military police school.
I went
from military police school on a Friday to California on a Monday and was in Vietnam on Wednesday.
Wow, boots
no on compassionate
ground.
Leave, no nothing. Like, bye-bye.
Why didn't you become an officer if you graduated college?
The shelf life of a second lieutenant was about 15 minutes.
I understand.
Again, 1 year, 19 months, 29 days, and the clock is ticking. God. So, I mean, I did not want to be in the Army, people. As simple as that. I mean, I worked my ass off to go to St. Joe's. I worked part-time jobs, paid for my own tuition, finally got a job with Libby McNeil and Libby, had a company car, had an expense account, and at the time I was making some serious money. And all of a sudden I get drafted out of that, and now I'm down at Fort Bragg.
Joseph, two things. You're a real Philadelphian, a little crusty language there.
Yes.
And number two, you're certainly a cop, man. When I was a little boy growing up in Kensington, Chuck Kebding later became a cop. He used to go out and I shouldn't have mentioned. Anyway, a good friend, I love him dearly. I haven't seen him in 60 years. But he, we always, when the cops would come, he'd say, Drucker, Hedvig, he said, what are pennies made out of? Copper.
When the cops come marching in,
We got to get out of this place. Oh.
In the dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me it ain't no use in trying. My little girl, you're so young and fresh, and one thing I know is true, you're gonna die before your time is due. See my daddy in bed dying, see his hair turning gray, he's been working and saving his life away. I know, as he's been working, yeah, every day, slaving his life away. He's been working, baby, he's been a work. We gotta get out of this place, if it's the last thing we ever do. We gotta get out of this place.
I drove by Augusta once.
Doc Savicki here, and maybe you'll be there. When we're talking to our veterans, we understand that many of you are dealing with stressors in your life. And understand this, stress is normal in our life, and we can manage it, and it's a call to action. And sometimes the action requires someone else. Could be a doctor, could be a family member, or it could simply be a prayer. And I think this is a good time to share with you Psalms 59. Father Drucker and I will share this with you.
Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men.
For lo, they lie and wait for my life. Fierce men band themselves against me. For no transgressions or sin of mine, O Lord.
Josh, bring the music on and lower it. Don't shut it off. Keep it right up out there, okay? Where are we, Doc? What verse are we? I want to thank Sam Spicer and Laura Lewis for this wonderful day. Go ahead, and everybody. Anyway, go ahead.
Father, for no fault, if you would share that with us.
What verse am I on, Doc?
Number four.
Okay. Take it, Doc. You take it.
For no fault of mine, they run and make ready. Rouse thyself, come to my help, RC. Thou Lord God of hosts, art God of Israel, awake to punish all of the nations. Spare none of those who treacherously plot evil, Selah. Each evening they come back, howling like dogs and prowling about the city. They are a hollowing with their mouths and snarling with their lips.
They roam about for food and growl if they do not get their fill.
But thou, O Lord, dost laugh at them. Thou dost hold all the nations in derision. O my strength, I will sing praise to thee, for thou, O God, art my fortress. My God in his steadfast love will meet me. My God will let me look in triumphant on my enemies. My Lord, thank you for the words that you shared with us. May all veterans remember that if you are struggling, there is an answer. You can text 988 or call 988, or if you wish to speak with me, Doc Savicki, 856-278-4042. 856-278-4042. Doc Savicki, I'll be there for you.
I'll hear a footstep on the stair.
Sergeant Joe Bolesky, we want to know a little bit more about what it was like to be a policeman, a cop, and an MP in Vietnam. Father Jim shared, you oftentimes would fly on Huey helicopters or be guide on to military convoys in the front and in the rear. One would think you just arrested military personnel who went awry. But there's more to being a military cop during combat, isn't there? Please, Sergeant, share some experiences. For sure, we think of policemen, certainly, in a different perspective. Please share the good and the bad.
Yes, Vienna. My relatives all thought that I was wearing a clean, pressed starch uniform, standing at attention in front of a gate somewhere, and enjoying the life of Riley. Where, in fact, we were in Quan Loi monsoon rain. I was up to my knees. I cleaned that up. I was up to my knees in mud, and we were withstanding all the elements.
Now, let me ask you something, Joe. How were the other fellas that were cops? Were they happy to be made an MP? They probably never were a cop in their life.
That's correct.
They probably helicopter like me when I was 6 years old or 8 years old.
We had a 30-man forward unit. We were away from the mainstream,
right.
So it was kind of like, a MASH unit that you'd see on television, something like that. However, in my respective unit, we had a guy who was an ex-mechanic from Reedman on the boulevard.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he stole brakes for us all the time, so we consequently had our Jeeps running perfectly. We had a fellow by the name of, and we'll get into this later, I guess, Jim Karabatsis, who became a Hollywood screenwriter.
But he was a brother MP with you.
He was just a line
MP. He was your best friend.
Just a line MP.
Good.
Just a line MP.
Wait a second. I was working for the Department of Corrections. What kind of crimes did soldiers commit in Vietnam?
Selling drugs, rape, sodomy.
Oh wow.
Murder.
Joe, you told a story, if you don't mind, on the air. You know, do it the radio version about the gentleman you had to go and arrest, the big, tall fella. And he had to put him in handcuffs and chains and God.
We got the word from MI. We got the word from MI, military intelligence, that they were bringing in on a Huey a fellow who had been in the field who had just got done shooting his commander.
My God.
And it was definitely a murder.
And he was also insightful, wasn't he, as I understand? He was inciting the troops.
Oh, yeah. He was part of
rebellious.
Again, 69, you had black power. In Vietnam.
Right.
So you had a lot of racial warfare going on. So this fellow, they bring him in, and they got him in handcuffs, and they got him in shackles. And we put him in a D cell, which was called a detention cell,
okay.
Which is nothing more than a conics with an iron bar closing it. So we had him in there. We had him in there overnight because he was going to be transported out the following day to LBJ, or Long Bend Jail. Well, we were also told that we were going to have a ground attack that night. So the lieutenant comes up to me and says, Joe, if in the event they breach our company area and we're attacked, I want you to shoot them.
Okay.
So I said, whoa, lieutenant, that's serious.
This is a kid from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's never had a weapon in his hand before.
That's correct. And
you're told that you're ordered.
To shoot
if
him.
If this happens, you're losing the battle. Shoot him. Kill him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the point is, I said, I don't think I could do that without a written order.
Very smart.
So, lieutenant turns around and he writes me an order. He said, if in the event your life is in danger, shoot him. Mm-hmm. And be honest with your father, I think I would have. I didn't have to, though, thank God.
Yeah, well, thank God for that.
So long story short was, the following morning, he gets off to LBJ. Now, from what I understand, anybody who was sent back to the States, to Leavenworth, typically had their charges reduced because of lawyers going on for the mental cases that Vietnam was a tragic situation.
Right. And it's true. A lot of it might have been true, Joe. You know what I mean? PTSD. They're seeing people being killed. They're killing.
Right.
Their buddy next to them is being shot and killed and
That's
maimed.
Correct.
And think of all the stress these soldiers,
Absolutely.
Young soldiers, were under.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's continue with more music. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
No, that's...
Dressed in their summer clothes. just goes.
I see a line of cars and they are painted black, with flowers and my love hope never to come back.
I see people turn their heads and quickly look away, like a newborn baby, it just happens every day.
I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door, I must have it into black.
Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when you're home.
The number is 888-329-3306. Father Jimmy Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille. Joe Oletsky, my guest from Philadelphia, cop in Vietnam. And he runs into his buddy named Jim Katabatsos. And Jim later would go and write a screenplay, go to the Philippines, do a movie, et cetera. It becomes a monster movie, Battle of Hamburger Hill. But I'm going to lead into Vienna, because Vienna was in Osaka, Japan, taking care of amputees in her hospital, the 249th. And share the story with you, what you told me before on the air and off mic about you thought the war was ending. We need a mic here, Josh. We need a mic, Josh.
Well, God May 1969, I was in Japan for 2 years at a hospital that specialized in amputees and paraplegics directly from the Vietnam War. But May 1969, I'll never forget it. It was the middle of May, and I kept hearing choppers constantly because all our patients, you know, came in through choppers. And I asked the first soldier that was alert, what is going on? We're hearing constant choppers. I'm getting hundreds of amputees. What's going on? Is the war over? He said, no, ma'am. You see, there's a hill over there, and we're at the bottom of the hill, and the VC are at the top of the hill, and we are being slaughtered. I'm like, what?
So you thought the war was ending, because you were used to getting how many people, how many combat soldiers?
Maybe 20, 25 a day.
A day.
But we were getting
a day. That's 20 soldiers a day being flown in from combat. Amputees from Vietnam to Osaka, Japan. So now all of a sudden you're getting how many, Vienna?
Might get 100. I don't know.
Wow.
75.
So you think the war's over?
Yeah. I think it's over. It's not. But we were all livid because these guys were being slaughtered. And thank God that your friend, Jim Katabatsos, right, wrote the script, and it was one of the best movies ever.
Just share your love for Jim and name some of your other comrades-in-arms. Your comrade in the police shield with your patch, the 545th.
Okay, basically it was Jim Katabatsos who wrote the movie, Hamburger Hill.
And he was one. Now, you were desk sergeant, right?
I was desk sergeant.
You weren't senior sergeant, but you were desk sergeant. Who was the senior sergeant?
Actually, I became the senior sergeant.
Who was the
sergeant?
Senior sergeant when you were desk sergeant?
A guy by the name of Terry Franz.
Are you still in touch with him?
Yes, I am.
By the way, 888-329-3306. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, Terry was the senior desk sergeant who, when he rotated back to the States, I replaced him.
Okay. And, continue. So who's the name of some other?
Okay.
Your buddies?
Then there was Marty Beanstock. Marty is currently a New York marshal and does rather well up there. Has us once a year up to his house in Chappaqua for a reunion. Claude Abbey from New Orleans. He was another desk sergeant who took over the shift when I left the shift. We were working 12 hours on, 12 hours off, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. So he took the balance of the shift. They're mirrored a guy by the name of Harper, a guy by the name of...
Joe, would you be willing to share the story about the... I hope we didn't talk about it already, because I'm already so messed up today. Anyway, with the show. I'm messed up, period, but with the show, that makes it worse. That makes it more. You were talking about an officer and a sergeant, and they had a Jeep downstairs. It was a Saigon. Where were you?
Okay, it was a town called An Lạc, which was the village province capital of Ben Long province.
And two soldiers, an officer and a sergeant.
We were doing town patrol, and we came and we found a ambulance Jeep parked outside a house.
Right.
And there were two helmets in the Jeep. So we went up toward the Jeep, And we knew, again, MI told us that there were zappers in the area.
Military intelligence.
And that they were wiring with explosives, Jeeps or trucks or whatever. So the point is that I screamed, top of my lungs, "Hey, GIs, get out of there." So this swirly old sergeant sticks his head out and says, "What's the matter? Are you begrudging us some fun?"
So it sounds like he's from Kensington.
So I said, "Get your ass down here." God. So he comes down and I said, "Hey, you got to let us go, aren't you? Because we're medics." So I said, "You just stand over here." So I said, "Where's the other guy?" So this guy who is as white as a sheet because he had just rotated in from the States, he's a doctor.
And an officer.
Of course. Well, I didn't know at the time.
And a gentleman.
Yes. Well, anyway, he sticks his head out and he comes down. So I said, "You, I want you to stand 50 meters to the right. And you, the nondescript fellow, I said, I want your dog tags." He says, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm going to ask you to start your Jeep. And when it blows up, I don't want to go through all the guts and whatever like that to find your dog tags." I said, "I want them clean in my hand." So he says, "Oh, you're blank, blank, blank." So I said, "Okay, wise guy, start the Jeep." And I moved back 50 yards. He slid under the Jeep to take a look, and there was a block of C4 in the ignition.
God bless
him. He would have blown himself to smithereens. Yeah. So the point of the story is, and as you mentioned, helicopters flying in and out of Japan.
Yeah.
Well, they were flying from Quan Loi to 5th Surge in Saigon on the hour.
So this is a city kid from Philadelphia. What was your zip code? Mine was 25. 19145, 19125 from Kensington. But anyway, Vienna, take over a little.
Sergeant Joe, you came home to a family you loved, and you danced at your daughter Michelle's wedding.
Anyway, we're going to continue with this little motto. This is the motto song of your cops in Vietnam, the 1st Cav, 545th. Hello, Josh. Hello. Joseph, Sergeant, get close to your mic. Listen, share the pathos. You just heard these songs. It brought back memory for you. What is your thinking right now of having been there, having this song as the motto of the cops, military police in Vietnam, sir?
Number one, we were there to protect the troops. That was the mission of the
That's
Yankees.
That's good to hear, number one.
We were there for that. We were also there for the camaraderie of the fellow soldier. The 30-man unit that we had, I mean, it was a brotherhood. There was a point where there was a unit that was in contact, and we were also a quick reactionary force, QRF. So they needed volunteers. Well, we asked for them, and all of a sudden, 15 guys appeared on the back of a truck with M79s, 16s, 50 caliber, all 10 yards.
Big and stuff, big stuff.
Everybody went. I mean, nobody was a shirker. But that's what I considered that the old John Wayne spirit.
So in addition to being in convoys, which I never knew because I wasn't in Vietnam, I was enduring, that the Lee car and the N car was always an MP.
Yeah, trail.
Jeep.
Trail.
Wow, fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. Let's hear this beautiful song, a song that something's very special to you, Louis Armstrong. I love this song.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Billy Carlucci, Joseph, was just telling me, he, Mott, volume that a little bit, Josh? Yeah, that's good. Very nice. So, Billy, you just told me about, you were on the same ticket, so to speak, but in the lounge at the Empire State Building.
We opened for Louis Armstrong.
Oh, man.
I know. I said the same thing. You kidding me? Louis Armstrong? We opened for Louis Armstrong? You're opening for Louis Armstrong. Why are we opening for Louis Armstrong?
Hello? My mic's on. Go ahead.
Yes, it is.
It's now.
It is indeed. Now. Yes, Lieutenant Colonel.
What do I need to do? So they told us we need to pump up this place because Louis does his, you know, is the trumpet only thing.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
We need at the hop. We need rock and roll.
You got to start rocking and rolling.
And they love this, right? They this love is, Louis. Louis loved this too.
This is Rock and Roll Reveille with Joe Beletsky, my guest today, a Vietnam military policeman, a cop, not a Philly cop, a Vietnam cop in Vienna. Take it over,
Sergeant Joe. You came home to a family you loved, and you danced at your daughter Michelle's wedding to this beautiful song by Louis Armstrong, one of my favorites as well. Please share your thoughts of how Vietnam affected your life there, when you got home, and now. I understand that Michelle has told you, Dad, the only reason you came home from Vietnam was to give me life.
And that's true, and she'll remind you of that tomorrow as well.
And she's an attorney now, you told me, right?
She's a retired attorney. She's a mother of three little girls.
God bless.
Son of a cop, a cop.
That's right.
When the coppers come marching in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, however, though, to make a point on that, when in her college years, when we were interviewing for various schools, my older daughter went to St. Joe's, of course. My son, the third child, he went to St. Joe's, of course. My middle daughter, when she interviewed at St. Joe's, where she had a half a ride, she told her recruiter, I don't want to go to your school. As I was about to strangle her, she said, because my sister is going there and my brother's going there. I don't want to go there. So where does she go? She goes to Loyola down in Baltimore, which I referred to as St. Joe's South, which, by the way, we paid full ride tuition down there.
That's interesting. Wow.
Josh, can we do the medley of songs from the clubhouse? Do you think you can jump into that one for me? Okay, please.
Look out.
This is songs that, while Joe was in Vietnam, would go to the clubhouse, the military police clubhouse. They would have their drinks and talk, and this is the music they listened to.
We come on this sloop, John B., my grandfather and me.
Mike
Sarge, I have a question. What was the longevity of a cop in Vietnam? Tell me about that.
Basically, all I can tell you about is the Quan Loi area, because you got to remember that if you were in the military, all you knew was maybe about a 5-mile radius of where you were. I mean, you got no other intelligence from anybody else. So I can speak intelligently about the Quan Loi area.
Now, let's get into the movie, because we're getting tight on time now. Jim Karabatsos, right?
Karabatsos, yes.
He leaves the military,
yes.
Active duty. His brother is a screenwriter, screenplay writer, whatever, screenwriter
yes.
for Hollywood. In Hollywood, he lives there. So Jim leaves. He's from New York, by the way, right? Correct?
Yes.
Where was
yes.
Staten Island, Long Island?
I believe he was from Brooklyn originally.
Okay.
And then
he thought in Japan. So now he goes home, and he goes from New York when he comes home after leaving active duty Vietnam as a cop, military policeman, 545th, first cap. And he flies to L.A. to be with his brother. What's his name? You remember?
Steven.
And Steven says yada yada to him. He says yada yada back. And all of a sudden, Jim is writing screenplays?
Well, Steven was an established writer because he had done the first 4 Star Treks. And he was also a writer for Dr. Kildare
wow.
and Ben Casey.
Oh, Lou Ayres played
amazing.
Yeah, so he was established. So he takes Jimmy under his wing. And Jimmy was very cerebral. I mean, you know, he was writing all the time.
And you said Jim was a brilliant man because he learned
Vietnamese. He learned Vietnamese on his own. We used him as an interpreter because we didn't trust our South Vietnamese interpreter.
Unreal. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, continue. So now he's there, and he's calling you to be involved in this movie because you're his best buddy from Vietnam.
Well,
he goes to the Philippines. Share that.
Oh, okay. He also called Terry Franz and Marty Beanstock and Claude Abbey.
Wonderful. His buddies.
His buddies. However, what Jimmy does is he has a cattle call all over the United States of guys who had just done, like, summer stock. And he wanted guys between the ages of, say, 18 and 22.
But go back to why he even did this. Why did he pick Hamburger Hill? What was the reason?
Okay. Prior to that, he had done an Army documentary for the 101st Airborne. And the commanding general liked him a lot. So Jim showed the commanding general from the 101st his sketched out screenplay for Hamburger Hill. And he asked him.
So he had this in his mind prior.
Yes.
And then you said, you shared with me earlier that he actually met with a lot of the soldiers that had been in combat, and he interviewed them, correct?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, what he did was he went to the commanding general of the 1st Air Cav and said, look, here's my screenplay.
2 stars? 1 star?
I have no idea.
Okay, commanding general.
So he meets with him, and he says, look, he says, I got this story about a group of guys and how they interrelated all over the United States and how they became a brotherhood. He said, I want the use of the 1st Air Cav patch. And the commanding general said, no, you cannot have it.
Period, done, finished.
Because Platoon and Full Metal Jacket was just coming out. And he said, I don't like the flavor of these movies.
Okay.
So Jim, in turn, calls his buddy from the 101st and says, look, can you talk to this guy at the Cav and get him to change his mind? And the guy says, no, I can't. The guy's a hardhead. He's not going to change.
So then what happened?
So the guy from the 101st says, we're going to be in the Philippines, and we're going to be on maneuvers.
They happen to be in the Philippines on maneuvers.
Yes. So he said, if you bring your movie company to the Philippines and film, you could accidentally use all my troops when they're off duty, all our armament that's flying overhead, all our trucks, and our advisors.
So now he puts his own money into this project.
Yes, he did.
He funded
it himself.
And another friend of his that was a ghost, we would call it, to help sponsor with money.
Yes.
They get him over. He's in Philippines filming a movie.
Yes, he is. While this is going down in the Philippines, the Marcos government is under revolution.
Whoa.
So Jimmy is taking sniper fire from the revolutionaries.
Oh, no.
So the Marines that he had as
active duty Marines?
Prior duty.
You never say
a former
Marine. You're always a Marine.
Always.
Unlike
which is a dead Marine. Ex-Marine is a dead Marine.
Yeah.
So he's taking fire. So the Marines had
start
weapons
returning
and fire.
Fire. Start returning fire. So Jim said he took more sniper fire on the movie than he did while he was in Vietnam.
Josh, bring up leaving on a jet plane. A little underbed, please. All right. So listen, it's been great. We're coming up tight, but continue. Vienna, jump in if you have a thought. Billy, a doc, please, with Joe Bilecki here, please.
We love them Yukis that are also Lithuanian.
There you go.
This is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, well, that's supposed to just fade it down a little bit, please. Listen, it's been great being on the air for this 1 hour. I want to thank Sam Spicer again and Lori Lewis very much for being helpful to me. God bless you both. And we're on the radio right now. And the number to call for next week is 888-329-3306. I know you got your spot. I know it, Vienna. I know it. You want to do dance on top of the table here?
I do, because okay. You know I'm a doo-wop girl.
I know
yes.
that. You're a DWG.
Really?
Oh, definitely. I can't wait.
Yeah, I told him, you know, when I met him, hey, my goal was to be Rizzo in Grease. He said, stick with me. It might happen.
You're a good Italian.
Anyway, Joe, you have any closing thoughts? Fade down the music a little bit, please, Josh, please.
No, Father Jim and Vienna, I certainly thank you much for this opportunity to relive some of my stories. My family's probably listening on the other end saying, it's Dad mouthing off again. But again, I appreciate that. And I'd like everyone just to say a prayer for all the veterans.
Yes. Will.
I would say an amen to that. So let's offer it Our Father. How about that? All right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
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 Our guests next week on Rock and Roll Reveille will be retired U.S. Army Major General Thomas Matthews. Tune in and listen. Once again, it's WWDB 860 AM. The call-in number is 888-329-3306. WWDB 860 AM.
I love you all. Thank you for listening to the show. That's been something I've wanted to do all my life, to be in Philadelphia on radio and be rocking. And to have wonderful people on like Joe Bilecki. Joe, give our love to your family, please, and your daughter, the attorney, retired. And it's true. I talked to somebody about the show today, and they said, you know what, Father? It was providential, and it was God at work, bringing you back home safely to your family and bringing on this earth Michelle and your other children.
Well, thank you again, and let's have a note of appreciation for my guardian angel, who's been taking care of me for years. May she get some new wings.
And all our veterans, they have a guardian angel. That's why why you're here home again. We want to keep you. We love our veterans.
You're all my heroes.
If you lose anything, look up St. Anthony. We'll get it back for you.
To go.